Well, speaking of mountains and climbing mountains, it was a few weeks ago I read a news article about a French mountain climber. Her name is Elizabeth Ravol, and she was rescued from what is known as Pakistan's Killer Mountain. The mountain, called Nanga Parbat, is the world's ninth highest peak at 8,126 meters. Ravol was the first woman to reach the summit without a Sherpa or the use of oxygen equipment. She and her climbing partner made the summit, where they were able to spend a brief second before conditions forced them to begin their descent immediately. And on the way down, things took a turn for the worse. And rescuers who were in communication with Ravol and her partner via radio, they urged her to leave her weak and bleeding climbing partner, Polish mountaineer Tomek Mazakowski, behind. Something Ravol describes as terrible and painful. Ravol suffered from hallucinations so bad during her descent that she took her boot off at one point, and she suffered severe frostbite to her hands and to that foot, which did not have a boot. Mountain top experiences. Sometimes they are grand, exciting affairs, and other times they bring with them painful realities. I imagine that for Ravol and her climbing partner, reaching the summit of that mountain was a moment of joy and euphoria. They had achieved their goal. You know, when you hear about people talking about climbing mountains, it's always about reaching the top. They never mention anything about the climb back down. It's getting to the summit, not the descent back down. The goal is the summit. And that moment at the top can be captivating. And we see elements of that feeling in the gospel reading this morning from Mark. Jesus has climbed to the top of a mountain. Peter, James, and John are with him. And there, Jesus' appearance seems to change. He is transfigured. Elijah and Moses show up. And all Peter wants to do is to stay and to bask in the moment. It is good for us to be here, is what Peter says. And it was good for them to be there. And it is good that we also are here. That moment of wonder felt by Peter, felt by Ravol, felt by countless others who have been to the mountaintop, both literally and metaphorically. They are wonderful experiences. And I get the sense that Peter, despite how awkward his next words about building huts are, is filled with genuine wonder. And well-placed wonder is in short supply in our world. I think that most people tend to move through their days without always achieving a full sense of wonder. And yet wonder is all around us. Here, in this moment of worship, in the presence of the living God, we can experience wonder. And we can look to the stars, and we can experience wonder. This week, the company SpaceX launched the Falcon Heavy rocket, once again lighting a sense of wonder about our ability to reach the stars, to return to the moon, perhaps to send people to Mars. It's a sense of wonder that often guides and leads us to wonderful new experiences. And I read a poem the other week that summarizes wonder in another yet equally delightful way. The poem is titled Imaginary Conversation by Linda Pastan. The poem reads, "You tell me to live each day as if it were my last. This is in the kitchen, where before coffee I complain of the day ahead. That obstacle race of minutes and hours, grocery stores and doctors. But why the last, I ask? Why not live each day as if it were the first? All raw astonishment. Eve rubbing her eyes awake that first morning. The sun coming up like an ingenue in the east. You grind the coffee with the small roar of a mind trying to clear itself. I set the table, glance out the window where dew has baptized every living surface. Why not live each day as if it were the first? As if this day was the day that God had given, and that the events that occur on this day should carry such magnitude that they are not forgotten. That each event is given the wonder it deserves. Because it is good that you are here. It is good that you have the experiences you do. The story of the Transfiguration, it occurs at the midway point in Mark's gospel, and this is no accident. It is a reminder of all that has happened and a signifier of all that is still to come. It tells us that what we have seen, and we have seen much already in Mark's gospel, but that it pales in comparison to what happens next. That God's glory persists. And this passage is also one of the three decisive moments regarding the unique identity of Jesus, the Son of God, that we find in Mark's gospel. In our reading this morning, we hear God's voice say, "This is my Son." And the first instance of the unique identity of Jesus occurs in Mark chapter 1, at the baptism of Jesus. And the last occurs at his death, when a Roman centurion says, "Surely this is the Son of God." And the words that come with our declaration today are, "Listen to him." An interesting statement, and it probes for a question we could ask of ourselves. Do we listen to Jesus, or do we just hear him? Do his words make a difference in our lives, or is it all just background noise? How do his words shape and influence us? How do they lead us to do good work on his behalf? It is good that you are here. And if we are going to be here, then we should listen to Jesus, to understand and discover what his teachings were about. And those teachings reveal the nature and the character of God, and how that then influences and shapes our lives. Transfiguration Sunday is placed here on the eve of Lent for a purpose, to remind us of the divinity of Jesus, to prepare for Good Friday and for Easter. Because post-transfiguration is not for the faint of heart. Once we see and acknowledge the divinity of Jesus, it is hard to ever be the same. It is easy just to stay on the mountaintop, or perhaps to never quite reach the summit, to turn around before that last hill. It's safer. There is no risk. Nothing changes. You just keep rolling along. But are we willing to climb to the summit? Are we willing to have our future claimed by God? Are we willing to embrace something new, something bold, and to do it all in God's name? Are we willing to challenge the way things are? When reporters asked the French mountain climber Elizabeth Revol if she would ever climb again, her response was, "I think I will. I need this." In light of her experience, we might find her response odd, perhaps even reckless. Yet we all need to climb to the mountaintop. We all need to experience that sense of wonder that living and being in the presence of God provides. And so let's invite more people up to the mountaintop, where we can all acknowledge that it is good to be here. Thanks be to God. Amen.